You're listening to the Mom Inspired Show, Episode 8 with Maureen Hare.
Welcome to the Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day.
I'm so excited to have Maureen on the show today. She is a mom with grown kids, and we talk about what it was like raising them when they were younger. We dive into what it's like to be an empty nest home and what she did in her marriage that is helping her today as there are no kids in the house and just her and her husband. We talk about the challenges of going back into the workforce when you've stayed home for a long time and feeling like you're not relevant and what she did to change the mindset of the companies that she was applying for. So get ready to hear some great tips on what to do with teenagers and how to keep your marriage a priority. Let's go to the show. Maureen, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
It's a pleasure. I'm happy to be here and excited to talk to you and your viewers today.
That's great. You know, so I always like to start off with an icebreaker. I love to travel, so it's always fun for me to ask people where they have vacationed. So I wanted to ask, what is your favorite vacation spot that you have gone to and why? And this can be with or without your kids.
I would say Hawaii because it's absolutely natural beauty. Any of the islands are absolutely gorgeous. Maui is my favorite. Snorkeling, sitting on a beach, my kind of vacation any day. Love Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been to Maui and it is great and awesome snorkeling. And so I was going to ask you, with working for Marriott, do you find that you travel more leisurely, or do you feel like you're burnt out from traveling all the time with work?
I would say I just want to stay home and eat a good meal.
Yeah.
I go to really awesome places. Yeah. And honestly, who could have it better? Last year, I was in Hawaii for a conference.
Oh, wow.
And people swore that I wasn't working. I was. I really was. But, I think I take certain things for granted now. And I'm a little bit spoiled more so,
sure.
But I don't totally love it. I love the destinations that I get to travel to. So I got to say, it's a great job.
Yeah. Well, which that leads me into my next question. So let's get started with the show. How about you share with us who you are and how you got to where you are today?
So my name is Maureen Hare. I'm actually from St. Paul, Minnesota. That's where my roots were. My family grew up in a family of nine, and I basically started my career in St. Paul, which is really a lot of fun. I started selling for a temporary help agency and ran across a hotel that I admired. I just thought, what a fun job. I'd like to do that. Talked to the director of human resources, and I thought, who could have it better? They'll train me. I can fly a number of different places. And I get to work for a pretty amazing hotel. So from that point, moving forward, 28 years later, I'm with Marriott International and I'm a national sales account executive. We have two children. I've been married 34 years and all four of us are in different states. My husband and I live in Missouri, a daughter in Chicago, and our son is in Colorado. But, you know, we definitely have a lot of fun traveling together and get together quite often.
That's fun. I was going to ask you, so when you first started in the hotel industry, was it in sales?
Yes.
Oh, it was. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I was a junior salesperson and I worked for a very old hotel company by the name of Dunphy Hotels. And it was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And that's kind of where I started my career. Never knew that if you were really good at what you did, based on your merits, not necessarily your education, you could pretty much go anywhere. And once I figured that out, I thought, the world's my oyster here. I mean, I just got to be great at what I do, and moved up throughout Marriott and other hotel companies in my career.
Now, what would you say for people that do work hard, but they get stuck? Like, would you say that you need to jump around, or like, what was your experience with all that?
I think in the day that I first started in the industry, if you jumped around, it didn't look good. Now, if you stay, I mean, like people would say, you know, why do you want this job? You've been employed 3 years at your former employer. And I'd say, because A, I can make more, and B, I'm going to be a director. I want to grow. I want to move up in the industry. So, today, if you're in a position more than 3 years, people wonder if there's something wrong with you. And actually, it's kind of sad.
I know.
Isn't that sad?
It is sad. But there's no loyalty from the company to the employees anymore. So that's what used to keep people back then, you know, and now that doesn't exist. Everybody has their 401k, does their own thing. There's no pension. So there really is none of that loyalty back and forth, because they kind of removed that once they started getting rid of the pensions and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And, you know, I think the benefit to being with a big company like Marriott is I can work for Marriott. Right now, I've been with Marriott 6 years, but I can work in multiple capacities. I could apply for a job in another city, but still say I work for Marriott, but it's just a different job in a different hotel or a different department. So there's a number of employees with Marriott that have long tenure with Marriott. It's just... I'm blown away. My director has 24 years.
Wow.
Right.
That's cool.
But she's worked in multiple capacities. So if, you know, I think about my career when I was first starting out, I didn't work for big hotel companies, but I liked the intimacy of working for a small hotel. But that got boring. And then I started to think the bigger, the better. Right.
Yeah.
So I ventured out and started to apply for positions at different levels.
Now, okay, so because it's sales, can you live anywhere you want, or is it based in St. Louis?
The position that I took for Marriott is a remote position, and Marriott is very well known for remote positions within the hotel company itself.
Sure.
There are on-property sales positions, and I've done that as well. But when I took this position with Marriott, I decided that I wanted to be remote, so that no matter where we live, my husband and I travel a lot, we can go see our kids, I can work remotely regardless. And their mentality of having remote salespeople is very progressive. Very impressed, actually.
That's awesome. My director,
I mean, I've had a director remote. I've had a revenue manager. I mean, multiple levels of people in the hotel company are remote.
Sure. So that makes sense. I mean, would you say you're working more than 40 hours a week, or do you feel like you work less by working remote?
Well, totally way
or does
more. It's kind of like you're in your environment. And I mean, there are days that I don't even think to take a lunch. Don't get up.
Yeah.
And thank God I have a dog, because he'll look at me and say, really, are you ever going to get me out of here? Right. But I mean, it's kind of interesting. You don't have the water cooler conversations.
Right. Yes.
And I'm far more productive.
Right.
I think I get far more done.
Sure.
And I love that part of it, but I have to remember to be social. You know, get out of the house, get dressed, go do something.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I agree.
So,
yeah. And going back to you starting in sales, do you feel like sales comes really easy to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So when I interview for a sales position, or, you know, they ask the common question, what is your strength? What is your weakness? And I say, my strength is I talk a lot. And my weakness is I talk a lot.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, in sales, you got to carry on a conversation about nothing. There are people that you have to extract their opinion or attitude or get to know you kind of thing. So I don't know. I just find it fascinating. But then coming from a family of nine, if you didn't talk, you know, getting kind of like,
left out.
Are you there?
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny.
Now,
but, yeah.
I was going to go back to your position. So when you, mm-hmm. when you say you're in sales, what kind of position is that? What are you doing exactly?
Okay. So what I do is I target organizations, corporations, associations to bring large conventions to our hotel company. Okay. And I'm out in the marketplace, actually East Coast, Northeast, and Mid-Atlantic, calling on major associations and corporations who always have meetings, training meetings, annual conventions. And as a hotel, we're out there knocking on the door saying, consider me. So I actually represent a hotel in Chicago. I don't represent all of Marriott. We do have national sales people on our team that, you know, are by territory representing Marriott, and they're a partner with me. Mm. But I love calling on people in the East Coast. It's probably my favorite place to travel to.
Oh, cool.
And people make decisions. I'm all about let's get it done. Mm-hmm. And the East Coast tends to have that strength in doing business with us. So
yeah. That's cool. Yeah. When I was working in HR, we would have to have a conference every year. And mm-hmm. we had it at Embassy Suites, which is Hilton. So it's the same concept, though, you know, and people are vying for your business to, you know, because it's about 150 people that would come in for a certain amount of days. So so that's pretty much probably what you're doing. But you're just working remotely and not just focusing on one hotel, like one local hotel. Right.
Well, actually, I do. I represent one hotel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in Chicago. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But we have a national sales team that kind of represents multiple hotels or that region.
I see.
But I kind of like being exclusive to one property because it's a big property. And when I go to see clients, they really want to hear from me. They want to talk to me. And it's an exciting new project that's up and coming in 2017.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Well, this leads me into, a time when you had small children, cause your kids are they're grown up now. And, you did things a little bit different than I think most moms tend to do. You went back to work when your kids were little and then you stayed home with them later on. So I wanted to ask you, for the listeners out there that, you know, they're having to battle between going back to work when the kids are little or should they stay home? Was it hard for you to go back to work when they were super little?
Well, I mean, it was from, oh my gosh, I feel terrible because my kids are going back to, you know, going to daycare and I'm going back to work.
Yeah.
But in that day, the neat thing about my support system is my family was around me. And when they were growing up or at daycare, my sister-in-law would pick them up. My sister, my mother-in-law, my mother.
Oh, wow.
We had all these people involved in their lives. Mm-hmm. So it seemed to be more manageable.
Sure.
But when we started to move, that's when it got technically complicated because you have to reestablish your support system.
Right.
And so it was hard, but yet it was so easy because I had my community of family there for me and for us.
Do you think that you would have made different decisions if you were all by yourself and no family around you?
I don't know. I in that day, economically, I didn't have a choice.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, really many, many years ago when the kids were young, you know, it'd be nice to be wealthy and have children and not have to work.
Sure.
I would love to have that option, but it wasn't even an option.
Yeah.
So no matter where I lived,
you would have had,
to work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I say that because there's a lot of people around here that have parents that help out, and they have said that if that wasn't the case, they probably would have tried to stay home because they wouldn't have wanted, a situation where they're in full daycare and they can't get them until six and stuff like that because they have the opportunity to use their parents or whoever's around. So I always find that interesting if some people, if they had a different scenario and they could pull it off, if they would have stayed home or not, you know, because it does feel different when you know, like, your family's going to help out.
Yeah.
I think it takes a lot of stress off your shoulders, you know, and so that's why I asked that. So, but let's go to what ages were your kids, though, when you decided to stay home with them, and what made you decide to stay home with them? And I'm taking it at this point, you could afford it at this time frame. So if you want to share that, that'd be great.
So we had moved from Minneapolis to Michigan, and my son was 8 and our daughter was 11. And part of the deal that I cut with my husband is, hey, if we're going to move, I want to take some time off. It's so much harder to be alone, not knowing who you're putting your kids' hands in, and just being new to an area. So the neat thing is he agreed. He got a decent promotion and we moved to Michigan. And he said, well, why don't you take three and a half years off? And I'm like, okay, that sounds like a great idea. So,
and where did the 3.5 years come from?
I don't know.
What was there that you guys were trying to get to?
Maybe that was to make me feel better.
I even like that there's a half in there, like 3.5, not quite 4.
It was really funny because I like said, yeah, well, we'll see about that.
Sure. And
plus, I hadn't had my degree. I did really well in sales in Minnesota, worked my way up. I left Minneapolis as a national account executive for the convention bureau. And when I got to Michigan, I'm like, this is my chance to go back to school and get my degree because I didn't have it. I only had 2 years completed in my education, plus to be a part of the kids' lives and to get to know where we were living and the people around us. What a gift. It was totally a gift. What's funny about that is 9 years later, I did get my degree, but it was 9 years later. It wasn't 3.5. I was having so much fun, loved, you know, engaging in their lives, being a part of so many different things, being a part of our church. It was kind of a breath of fresh air. It was a life that I dreamt one day of having, but actually got to live it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so did it take you nine years to get your degree or 9 years that you took the break?
I think it ended up taking me 2 years to get the degree.
Okay.
And, but I don't know, it just, the 9 years flew by, but I didn't go back to school right away. I started to engage in the kids' activities at school. I was a speech coach. I was a cheer mom. I was a part of our church and ministry on the hospitality team. And then I got to take care of me. Went to Bible study. Yeah. I physically got a chance to work out every day.
Wow. Yeah.
So nice. And then I became a master painter. I painted our entire house.
Wow.
The professionals couldn't believe how meticulous the lines were.
Wow.
And I thought, well, I pay somebody. I'm not working. I can do it. And art is like one of my passions.
Oh, so, yeah, that makes sense then.
Yeah. And then I became a floral designer too on the side for friends that were getting married. But it was like 9 years flew by.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And to be a part of their lives was such a blessing. I got to know their friends. One of our friends from church said, you know, the one thing to do is keep all those kids, their friends, close to you. Mm-hmm. Know who they are, be a part of their lives, and you'll never regret it. And I fed them. I cooked a lot. Mm. And everybody loves to eat. Yep. So we became the house to go to eat at.
That's
which
cool.
Was cool.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I love that. And I'm going to tie back into focusing on that more. I did want to ask you, while we're still on the topic of you taking time off from work, when you decided to take some time off, granted, I know that you thought originally it was going to be 3.5 years. Did you ever worry that it would be hard to get back in?
I didn't. I actually didn't think about it. My husband did more than I. I mean, he said to me, get that degree because one day you're going to need it. And it's true because, you know, education was something that was stressed, you know, get your degree at one point in life. You didn't need a degree. Then all of a sudden, because of unemployment, everybody went back to school and got a degree. So I had the skill and the talent, but I needed the piece of paper. Took me a couple of years to get it. And while I was doing that, I had a chance to volunteer at school. I was a speech coach at school. I volunteered at church. I was a part of running a hospitality ministry, which is right up my
right up
my skill set.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That was a blast. I actually was a part of a web design team too, because, you know, at that time, internet and web designs was moving up. It was becoming the emphasis.
Right.
So, and then I was part of the cheer team, and then I got to actually take care of myself by working out and going to Bible study. So I kind of felt like I had the best of both worlds, or all worlds, actually. So,
and going back to the question, you weren't really concerned, but looking back, if people, if moms were listening to this with young kids and they're wanting to stay home, but they're worried about getting a job later. Now, knowing what the workforce is like now and whatnot, what would you suggest?
Okay. So I would still do what I did. But what I would do differently, because I got to tell you, those years were priceless.
Right.
Having the time with my daughter and my son, and I was a better person with my husband too. Yeah. I mean, you know, not stressed out.
Yeah.
You know, engaging. I think that I would have been more about networking. I would have still gone to industry events. LinkedIn today is a tool that keeps everybody connected.
Right.
Facebook to a degree, but, you know, LinkedIn from a professional tool is a way to stay engaged in your industry, but stay relevant. What does that mean? Stay relevant, right?
Right.
So as fast as technology is changing, the internet's changing. Well, the industry is changing. So what I didn't realize is that I came back to the industry and the industry had changed and I didn't really understand how. So how do you stay relevant and yet stay at home?
Right.
And I think that's the personal challenge. That's what I would do differently. I wouldn't not stay home. I would just stay connected with the people that I knew and still know after 28 years.
That's a good plan. So if people are listening to this and they are staying home with their small kids, make sure you're going to either conferences or networking events that are in the field that you want to be in. So that's kind of what you're recommending, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And read up on the industry, stay connected. And there are several associations that I belong to. And I mean, you can just go on their website and read about the trends. It's so hard just personally working to read about the trends.
Yeah.
But I know about them. But today, you know, the internet has provided a platform that information is so easily accessible.
Right.
But,
no, I agree. Yeah. Well, and I would love your thoughts on this. I know some friends that could be dealing with this. And I know that you might have had to experience this in your past. They've had careers that would have been really great. And they've had to take back seats to their husbands, either because they had to move or because they didn't want to put the kids in daycare or have a nanny. And so then, you know, they're now staying home. And I was just wondering what would you recommend to them? And how do you not have resentment in that regard, but still wanting to support your husband?
Well, you know, I think it's just understanding what's important at the time. Yeah. You know, I honestly didn't get a, I mean, it didn't matter to me that I didn't have a title. Actually, I had a pretty good title. I was in charge of everybody.
Yeah.
And the neat thing is you got to be confident in who you are. I mean, I'd go to receptions or parties with him and people would say, "You're a what? You stay at home? How do you do that?" And I'm like going, because it's fun and it's worth it. And I get to see my kids and I'm investing in their future. So be confident in what you're doing because it's okay. The world's going to, you know, continue to move forward and you're always going to be able to get a job. Believe it or not, you're always going to be able to get a job. Now, it may not be the job that you want right away, but if you have the best attitude and you just continue to work hard, you'll get where you want to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, what happened with my life is it was priceless to spend 9 years with two people that are now young adults doing really well. And what I mean by that, not necessarily, you know, financially out there, you know, knocking it dead, but doing well mentally. Mental stability today in children is critical.
Yes.
And when that family unit isn't solid, I got to tell you, it's a hard world. There's too much going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I just had to have confidence in myself.
Yeah.
And you know, I was happy for my husband moving on up. I mean, that's great. But, you know, it's always there. You can always go back to it.
Well, yeah. And that's good to know that I think some people really kind of fear that they're not going to be able to get back in. But like you said, you may not get back into where you'd hope at that point. So going back to you staying at home, what did you realize was so crucial to you being home those years?
Being present, being there for the both of them, for both my son and my daughter, listening to them, talking to them, talking to their friends. Social media has destroyed a lot of the direct communication that people used to have with each other.
Yeah.
But, you know, just talking through challenges, talking through problems at school, talking through the fact that my daughter had a problem with her math teacher and understanding it. I got to tell you, just working, I mean, and having to deal with that, but to have to deal with some of the issues that kids are dealing with at school, the bullying, the social illnesses that are going on with texting. I got a chance to really be a part of the pulse of their lives and mentor them.
Yeah.
You know, encourage them, challenge them and be there, you know, for them. And it was just a time that, you know, it was priceless. And today, because of it, they talk to me, you know, they share their anxieties, their challenges, their successes, their, you know, I mean, it's so funny. I had to be the mom. I had to be the disciplinarian, but I also had to be there. I had a chance to be there emotionally for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, not everybody has that.
Right. Yeah. Well, and speaking of that, is there anything when looking back that you do wish you would have done differently?
I think, you know, I think my husband, you know, I just got to say this to the audience. My husband was absolutely wonderful at making sure we kept a good relationship with us. So in other words, you know how sometimes as mothers, we get all caught up in our kids and it's all about our kids. Yep. And, we would go on vacation once a year by ourselves. We'd go on dates. I think that balance is critical.
Yeah.
What would I have done different? That's really an interesting question.
Well, you know, like when you look at if you can look at some of the issues you might have had with your children, throughout those years, say maybe the teen years and wherever you might have had struggles? Is there something that you can look at and go, you know what, I wish I could have done this a little bit different? I don't know. It could be with your son. It could be with your daughter. I don't know. I mean, a lot of times mother and daughters seem to kind of go at each other a little bit. I don't know if you had that with your daughter. I'm a little bit, you know, worried about my daughters as we get older, if we're going to run into that, where we're going to butt heads. I don't know. So if there's anything that you think like, yeah, you know, I wish I could have done something slightly different, or you may not feel like that, which is pretty awesome. But I just thought I'd pick your brain on that.
Well, my daughter was kind of difficult when she was a teenager, actually. I didn't know if I was going to, she was going to make it till she was 21, or I was going to make it until she was 21. I was really tough on her, and maybe not as much on the second, because
yeah,
they do tire you out, but yeah. I stayed on top of it and invested in making sure she understood the rules of the road. She was the bigger challenge. And today she actually at 22, she told me, thank you. And I created this really funny book, because you get into an argument with kids and they're like, but Kathy's mom told me I can go to the mall,
goodness. Or, yeah,
but you know, Tommy's mom lets him eat candy before dinner.
Right.
And because my daughter, strong personality, similar to me and my husband, would challenge me. One day I got sick of arguing with her and I created a fictitious book. And I told her, in the Parent Handbook of Life on page 286, it says that you're not allowed to go to the mall without parental guidance until you're 14. And she'd look at me and go, what are you talking about? And it was like a diversion. It was so perfect. And then we'd get into it about something else. And I'd on page 3 that says, parents aren't allowed to let kids stay at people's houses until. So over the years, over her 4 years in high school, I'd throw out this, some of the rules in the handbook.
Yeah.
And as we got to the age of 18, she started to say, wait a minute, on page 586, it says that I'm not allowed to drive my car after midnight. I'm like, how did you know that? But what was funny is less confrontational, more humor.
Sure.
Using humor kind of is a diversion, because it kind of, you know, took away the anger. And,
yeah.
You know, music, a couple of things that I love to incorporate in my life is music, laughter, and God. And those things are critical to raising kids and communicating with them. But, you know, I really don't think, Amber, there's anything that I would do differently. I really don't. I just know that I was blessed to have 9 years at home.
Yeah.
And although when I went to get a job, it was hard. It was really hard when I had people look at me and say, you know, you have a good background and you have strong skills and you had them many years ago, but you're not relevant to today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, being a mother qualifies for making decisions tactically and strategically and analytically. And, you know, I could say that I supervised people. I supervised two little kids that would give me a lot of pushback.
Yeah.
And yet at the same light, it didn't matter. So I had to talk my way through that.
Yeah.
I had to talk people through that. And you know what? Oh, well, I did.
Yeah.
And
you
but
did,
staying
yeah.
at staying at home, I would do it again. I'd do it at that point in my life. I think that the only thing that I would do, and I'm going to say this to moms, I would do more for me. I'm sorry. I know I stayed at home, but I would have taken trips. I never really did.
So what do you mean that you would have taken trips?
I never did those girl trips.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I was too caught up in, oh, Morgan has to go to dance and Preston has to go to soccer. And then I'd say, oh, my husband's too busy.
Right. You don't want to inconvenience them. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. But he never said I couldn't go.
Oh yeah. I totally get that. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, don't feel guilty about staying at home. Celebrate it. And don't let people say to you that, you know, that's all you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Yep.
I got that quite a few times, and I got it from professionals, women professionals, that it bothered me. I thought, don't ever say that to a woman. Yeah. This is a harder job.
Yeah.
Staying at home is a hard job.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you have experience from actually being gone and working and, and not being home with the kids to then being home with the kids. So, I mean, you have a pretty good idea of, you know, both sides, and to still say it's hard, even though you've worked and you know what that feels like, because that's hard in different ways, just like logistics and all that kind of stuff. And so I think that's good for people to hear. And it's good that you mentioned about taking trips and stuff like that. And I even think that with going with your husband on trips, because I do think a lot of people feel like they should never leave. Or they're like, I've never left my child. And I get like that protectiveness, but I do think you need to nourish your relationship with your spouse. And some people can't do it. You know, we a lot of times have to figure out how to have people come watch our kids. It's not easy. We don't have parents here and stuff like that. But we try to make it happen. And so, I mean, I just think even if people can get away for one night, you know, just to go to the city that they live by and, you know, do one night or whatever, you know, you can afford and stuff like that. So I do think that's key. But it is interesting for you to say, I would have gone away on girl trips, because that is one thing that I have not done. And I always think, oh, that would be fun. And then you just think, how long will you keep saying that until it never happens? Like, oh, that's fun. That's cool that they do that. You know, I will say it's hard, though, to figure out who will be willing to go with you, though, too, and that you like well enough to travel. So that is the challenge, to figure out, okay, so if I say yes, can you say yes? And can you say yes? And can you say yes to this? And can we all figure this out? But I would say that I think it's worth it. So.
Well, you got it. If you plan a year ahead, you got a year to figure it out.
Yes, exactly.
But I had some really, really fun friends in Michigan, and still do to this day. And I never even thought about it. It was like, but my husband did. My husband, and you know, I think my husband used to say, "I'm not married to my kids. I'm married to my wife. My wife comes first."
Yeah.
And I think ladies need to think about that. Take care of you.
Yeah.
People would like ask me, why do you work out? You don't have to. It's because I want to. It's because I feel healthy.
Yeah.
It's because I feel better. It's because I feel good about me.
Right.
I don't do it. I don't do it for him. I do it for me.
Yeah.
So take care of you, you know, and if you're a great you, you're going to be better for your kids and your husband.
Exactly. No, I do like that. Yeah. No, I think that's great. I think that's a great, great advice to hear, especially from someone who has, you know, older kids, have gone through these years and looking back and going, hey, I do wish I would have done that, that, hey, it will be okay if you leave. And you looking back and going, why didn't I ever think that? And like you were saying, you thought you were too busy with the kids and I can't leave my husband, even though he didn't say no. I think so many people are in that same boat. And I think by you saying that could give some people permission to be like, yeah, I should do that. I don't want to be this age with my kids grown up thinking, oh, I never did do that. You know, and I wanted to ask you mentioned something about your daughter being one strong-willed, and she's your oldest. And so I kind of have a situation. I have two girls, but my oldest is more strong-willed. And, I think it's hard to know how hard to be on them. You know how you were saying you were hard on her? So do you have any thoughts on that? Because I find myself and my husband will go, you know, she's a kid, you know, and then, and it's like, we forget that, because then we're like, no, you need to be like this, and you need to have manners, and you needed this and this and this. And I do think because she's the first child, we're more mm-hmm. like that. So looking back, still trying to enforce morals and just manners and all this kind of stuff, would you do something different in that regard? Especially you could see the difference between how you were with your first and your then your second.
Well, my first was she deliberately, tactically challenged me.
Yeah.
And whereas the second one said to me, oh, I promise I'll never act like that, Mom. Oh. Boy, you know, and yeah. I would laugh because I'm like, you promise? Can I record this?
Yeah.
Because he came around later on and delivered a little bit of the same challenges, not as much to the extreme.
Sure.
But yeah. I think that you have to step back and reflect. Mm. And I used to want to respond right away. Don't respond. So she'd be screaming in my face, like right up in my face. And I'm thinking,
are you talking
to myself,
as a teenager yeah, doing this? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just going crazy, yeah. Sassy. You know, there's a sassy stage they get into. Don't respond.
Okay.
Don't respond. The worst thing you can do is respond. So I used to pray, God, help me. I'm going to kill her. But yeah, I know you're here because you're not going to let me do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, seriously tone her out. And after she got done yelling, I'd say, are you done? And she'd say, yeah. I'd say, well, okay, it's time to take a break because I'm going to think about my response to you. The worst thing you can do is respond emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Step back.
Yeah.
So I used to say to my friends, stop, drop, and pray, because
I love it.
You could make impressions and comments and decisions that are far off from an emotional perspective instead of a reasonable parental perspective.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and I trust me, I've had those moments where I did unload, but yeah. I got better at practicing.
Mm.
You know, just letting her, I mean, emotionally unwind. And then I, are you done? Okay. Now I'm not going to respond to this because I'm very upset with you. And let me, give me a couple of minutes or I'm going to circle back with you. And it worked, because the worst thing you can do is get emotionally engaged with your kids or any adult. When somebody's yelling at you, you yell back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first thing when you're attacked, you attack back. You have more power not responding.
I agree. That is really good mm-hmm. advice. Yeah.
And
not saying something you will regret too later on.
Exactly. And use humor. I mean, and sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. Or, you know, I always felt that my kids knew that we were in charge. It doesn't matter what other people think. This is the way you're going to be raised. And one day you'll be off on your own and you can make those decisions on your own. But right now, this is the way it is. Don't debate. Don't, you know, I mean, parents are negotiating things today.
Yeah.
None. Not mm-hmm. an option.
Yeah.
Not an option. If you want to raise mentally healthy kids, tell them what to do and how to do them. Do it because you're the parent. It's your job.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, repeatedly, you know, say, I don't care what the Joneses are doing or the Smiths are doing. This is our house. This is the way we do it. And this is the way it's going to be. But today I see people waffling, you know, and I don't know. You just got to remain strong and remain strong with the principles that you believe in.
Yeah.
And it comes back. I used to say to friends that had kids that went astray, you know, like in one particular case, one of my friends, her son ran away and I helped to get him back. And he was only 12 years old. I mean, really, run away at 12? Where are you going to run? Where are you going?
Right.
Where are you going? So long story short, he wasn't going to go very far and we knew where he hung out. And I said to her, remember and believe that what you believe in, your principles, your investment in this child mm-hmm. will come back. Your investment, your return.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to have hiccups. Life isn't perfect. Come on. But stay engaged. Don't let them, you know, just run off and slam the door and not talk to you for 30 days. No, not an option. Stay engaged, stay in control, stay the parent, mentor them, love them, do it with love. If you got to be hard, you're going to have to be hard. But we've had our challenges, and you know, I just know that if you believe that what you're doing is right, it'll be okay.
Yeah, I like that. And I was going to ask you, you mentioned something at the very beginning about social media illness or something like that. Social illnesses. Can you explain what that means when you say that?
Well, thankfully, when my daughter was growing up, cell phones weren't allowed in schools. And today, kids have cell phones at the age of, what, 8?
Yeah.
So I saw, as my kids were growing up and other kids in the neighborhood were growing up, parents freaked out about the fact that kids were being bullied by texting. Your mother didn't show up to pick you up from soccer on time, group text.
I'm
like, really? I would have gone and taken all of them and sat them down. Right? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So there's that. And how about let's just text how we feel to our kids? No. Pick up the phone, talk to your kids, stop allowing texting to be the method of communication. If you want your kids to be distant from you, just text them for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So my daughter daily, our son 3 to 4, 5 times a week, texting is just more informational, such as, Mom, I'm not going to be available for the next 8 hours. Not a book about your life and your story and your day.
Right.
Texting is taking over the way kids communicate, and parents are allowing it. And I think I was kind of like offended when people texted me happy birthday.
Yeah.
When is, you know, I mean, where do you draw the line? When do you pick up the phone?
Yeah.
So what I don't allow that method of communication to dictate your relationship with your kids. Can you hear and feel emotion texting?
No. Yeah.
Can you feel sadness? Let's say your daughter's having a really bad day. And I'm very intuitive with our kids. I know when something is wrong. It's because I had that time with them.
Yeah.
But intuitively, people can hide behind it.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, the scariest thing in my life, and adults, you know, parents should be scared, is the first year in college, a large percentage of kids go into depression. Statistically.
Yeah.
And if your child is texting you, would you know that?
No, you wouldn't.
And I caught on to that, and you know, understanding it's because of the change in the dimension of the relationship. Some kids go off to school and just drink and it doesn't really matter, and then the parents don't hear from them anyways. But social media has taken the lead in driving our relational aspects of our life, and I don't agree with that. Sorry. And our kids know that. I don't text my 80-year-old mother-in-law. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because she doesn't know how to text.
Yeah.
Right. But the point is what if tomorrow she wasn't around?
Yeah.
I never talked to her. I never saw her, that last voice. I mean, I just challenge people to think differently about how they communicate with their kids. You know, if you really want to know what the pulse is of your children, talk to them. Remove the phone at dinner. We sat down at dinner and we still sit down at dinner. We don't text and talk. We don't let our kids be on games. I've seen tables of families not talking and my husband and I looking at each other and saying, what has it come to?
Yeah.
So, you know, I find it challenging. I have two phones, two computers, and an iPad. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my clients don't talk to me anymore. They used to. So I make appointments to talk to clients.
Wow.
I force them to talk to me.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's become an interesting dynamic in sales today because sales is talking to people, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Nope. 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 So the joke is in my office, you know, people used to say to me, "Maureen, you're always on the phone." And I'm like, "That's because it's our job, right?"
Right. Yeah.
No, it's that even our industry has evolved to communicating via email.
Yeah.
Email, email, email. And I think that I get further faster by making a call, picking up the phone. If you really want to invest in your children, talk to them.
I love that.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there are stories about your life that are getting lost in translation because of social media. It's because people, you know, I mean, my mother, before she died, used to tell my kids about her childhood and her grandma and her grandfather. Is that being communicated? So don't let social media rule your world is my advice to parents today.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, we're almost at the end of the show. And I wanted to ask you, was there any like routines or anything that you did when you were staying home with the kids that you remember and you think, "I'm so glad I did that," like when they got home or anything? I don't know. Was it like always that they had to eat dinner with you guys? Like, was there something that you could give the listeners some tidbits about what you found really worked well and that you're glad that you did it?
Well, dinner, critical. We always had a meal together. Mm. I didn't care how busy you were.
Yeah.
You know, social activities are now getting in the way of families just sitting down and having a normal dinner, not fast food, not dinner at Applebee's. I'm talking about even a BLT, ladies.
Yeah.
You know, dinner is dinner. So food, my kids actually learned how to cook. Mm. I challenge you. Are you teaching your children how to cook?
Mm. Yeah, I like that.
We cooked together. We laughed together. We baked together. My daughter knows how to paint. Mm. She, you know, I engaged them in activities in the house, around the house. They had their job. They had their chores. Don't do it all.
Yeah.
If you're doing it all, you're absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
That we used to have music. We used to have dance parties. Yep. Again, you know, make it light. Have some fun. Don't let them watch TV. Don't let them, you know, get off the computer, get off social media, go out and ride bikes together. But we did the basic things. We went ice skating. We went fishing. We went to free concerts in the park in Plymouth, Michigan, with our blanket and our picnic baskets.
Yeah.
Now, maybe a lot of listeners are still doing this.
Yeah.
But, you know, be together and be engaging and have fun. But I think that it's critical that even if you don't cook, you can pretend to cook, open some SpaghettiOs, put them in the can, you know, warm it up. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, but I didn't learn how to cook in a family of nine. Mm. I learned on my own. If you don't know how to cook, go take cooking classes.
Or just look at YouTube. I mean, there's so much information to learn how to do anything, you know, even if you're tight on money, you know, you can learn it for free or something. So I was going to ask you about with sports or activities, so what do you recommend? So if people have dance or whatever and say, one child is getting home from football and then the other child is, you know, going to ballet or whatever. So what would your suggestion be in those kind of situations?
Okay. It's old fashioned. It's called a crock pot.
Okay. But what if their times are missing each other? That's kind of what I mean. Like, what if?
Well, you know, I mean, then one of the two of your parents are going to have dinner with them. Rod would have dinner with Preston.
Oh, sure.
I would have dinner with Morgan.
Okay.
So we split the responsibility.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always that we could cook together, you know, on occasion had fast food. But one of you all, you know, should be able to sit down and have dinner with your kids.
Okay. Yeah.
And
I think that's
doable. I don't know if people are using crock pots anymore, but they're the easiest thing to use.
Yeah. They are.
And the other thing, you know, I got caught up into the, my kid has to be in every activity. Mm. Wrong.
Yeah, no.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Select one.
Yeah.
If you're never home because you're running your kids around, something's wrong. If you have your daughter in dance, soccer, basketball, and cheer in one season, then you've got a problem. Yeah. And I got caught up in that because everybody does.
Sure.
And then I said, stop the press. Morgan, select one thing that you want to do, Preston, because you know what? Guess what suffers? Their sleep, their eating habits,
their homework,
and their grades.
Yeah, everything. Right. Yeah.
Right.
I agree. No, I agree.
Know? Yeah.
Well, Maureen, it was so great having you on the show today. And I know that I found your experience to be very valuable. And I know my listeners will too.
Well, it's been fun. And I can only say this. In ending this conversation, what you invest, you'll gain in the return.
I love
it. So think about it. Think about what you do. Trust me, no matter how difficult it is, because there's going to be difficult times that one day you're going to be smiling and say, I'm so proud of being a mom. I'm proud of being a parent. I'm proud of being a wife, and I'm proud of me. It's okay to be proud of me because it's a tough job. It's a hard job. Not everybody thinks that, but believe that in yourself. So that's what I have to say. And I only wish everybody the best. Being a parent is fun.
Yeah.
And I'd do it again. Now I have two dogs. Yeah. That's about as good as it gets. And hopefully one day grandchildren. So,
yeah. Well, thanks again. Right. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. And it was fun to talk to you today. And good luck, ladies.
Hey, you guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really hope that you're finding a lot of value each week and that you're truly enjoying the show. If you are, make sure you're subscribing. That way you get the newest episodes every Tuesday. See you next week.